Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here and Chad Marquitz, both hosting this weekend show. And I want to refocus everybody on some of the daily editorials we recorded throughout this week, because as the week started off with some high volatility and a pretty sharp sell-off in a wide range of markets, the markets bounced back shortly after on Tuesday, to be exact. And then the tail end of the week, a little bit quieter, really just goes back to this whole summer doldrums trading. But back to the daily editorials that we were posting throughout the week, we were covering a lot of the short-term moves in the metals and U.S. markets, but also a lot of company updates. So please go back and check out those company updates, because right now, even as markets are slow and unfortunately precious metal stocks still under a bit of pressure, good time to get up to speed with a lot of companies and at least maybe trim your shopping list or isolate those companies a bit more. That being said, let's get into this weekend show, which we will focus a lot on active investing in mostly the resource space. Chad and I are starting off this show with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Now, Matt, you just sent out your investor letter, which I will provide a link to for all of you listening to read over. His full investor letter takes you through the allocation of the MJG Capital holdings and broadly Matt's strategies. Let's start off with a strategy you've had really throughout this year, and that is increasing the portfolio or the fund's cash position. We've talked about this on prior calls this year, but so far that's been a great strategy in the resource sector, unfortunately, because stocks have been drifting lower. Matt, take us through the reasoning behind this strategy and if you're continuing to build up cash currently.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me back on the program, gentlemen. Always good to be with you. You're right. I mean, that's been one of the very key focuses over the past 6 months here. The other is just sitting tight and being disciplined. So we've only initiated two new positions over the past 6 months as well. But the fund as of June 30th is at a 12% cash weighting. That's the highest that it's been in quite some time. Usually we're running pretty close to fully deployed. At the end of 2020, so 6 months ago, we were at 5% for context. So we've more than doubled there. You know, we're a long only fund. So this is really our way to hedge. It's to you know, carry a healthier cash position. And, you know, the reasoning is this: we're in a difficult spot here as natural resource focused investors. But, you know, from my perspective, the general markets, asset classes broadly, are at a pretty serious risk of a sustained correction here at some point in the near future. You know, Jeremy Grantham's on the record of saying that we're in the bubbles of all bubbles. And we know if there's a sustained risk-off event, or when there's the next sustained risk-off event, you know, similar to what we saw in spring of last year, you know, spurred on by coronavirus, we're going to get hit hard, very hard in the natural resource space, even if the cause of the sell-off's at no fault of our own. And so, you know, when I look out there and I see the return of retail investors and mass to the market, you know, I see the SPAC and cryptocurrency crazes that have been ongoing now for a good year plus. You know, just looking at the spread of growth to value names, looking at the fact that valuations are on the top decile of what they've been historically over the past 100 years, like the anecdotal evidence is just, you know, it's laid out clearly that we are in a euphoric stage of the market, and the animal spirits are certainly out. And so, you know, that said, from a natural resource perspective, looking back historically, we're still very, very well positioned here for the coming years. Even after the strong period of, you know, 15 odd months of performance since the coronavirus sell off last spring, natural resource equities generally, commodity futures themselves, on a whole host of metrics, you know, we're at historical lows, at or near historical lows going back 100 years when comparing, you know, prices and equity, mining equities to the broader stock market, to the S&P 500 in particular. And so that to me gives me strong conviction here over the coming years, coming decade, per se, that we're in the right sandbox. But there's always the risk in the near term of sharp pullbacks, 30-40% pullbacks as we saw last spring. And so, yeah, this cash is kind of following the mindset of it's better to be approximately right than 100% wrong. You know, we're at 12% now. We'll be building up towards 20% over the course of the next 6 months, assuming that the market remains strong or, you know, largely flat. And, you know, this will ensure that our downside is at least somewhat blunted when we do see that next major risk off episode. And just as importantly, it will ensure that we have dry powder ready to go to deploy next time that there's blood in the street. So I imagine that will be in the 15 to 20% range here, you know, for the foreseeable future. And when it's time to deploy, we'll know. It will be clear. It will be panic days. You know, portfolio will have probably experienced a healthy drawdown. You know, names that we're following and like can be down 30-40%. At that point, it's time to deploy some of this capital. And, you know, in the meantime, let's say things keep running here. And we have a second half of 2021 that rivals the second half of 2020, where the MJG fund was up over 100%. It is 102% over a 6 month period. Unprecedented performance, at least from our inception. And if that happens, then great. You know, we're still heavily exposed here. So I think it's prudent to be increasing cash, and that's how we're going about it. That's how we're thinking about it.
So Matt, one aspect of the sector that we were chatting about even before recording here is the prospect generator model. So the companies that build up a lot of different properties, sometimes around the world, sometimes focused in certain jurisdictions, do surface work or some of the easier exploration work to generate targets and then look for partners to spend their money on exploring these targets. This model kind of come out of favor recently. A lot of investors seem to be more focused on the companies that are drilling their own projects and those ones that are having success. But you think that this prospect generator model is going to return back into favor for investors. Why do you think that?
I do. And you're absolutely right. I would be a bit more aggressive there, actually, and say it's been out of favor for over a decade now. It's been a period of a lot of folks giving up on the business model in its entirety. You know, there are various reasons for that. I would just say generally though, we're entering into what is going to be an expiration bull market here in the coming years. It's an exciting time. We've really seen the major producers out there for a couple decades now, really since the early 2000s, focus on growing their reserves through decreasing their cutoff grades and advancing their later stage assets. And that's worked for a matter of years. But I think the major producers here have pushed the limit. And there's limited additional ounces that can be gleaned from both of these. So discovery is going to be necessary here, really across the board, in order to replenish the pipelines of these major producers. And so I feel very strongly that majors that have, you know, slashed their exploration teams and slashed their budgets over the past couple decades, we're gonna see the reverse of that in these coming few years. Them rebuilding their teams and doing exploration on their own, as well as partnering with, you know, geologically competent prospect generators. You know, whether that's through a strategic alliance, whether that's through joint ventures, whether that's through earn-in deals with these parties, there's going to be a steady stream of news coming forward. And a recent example would be Riverside with their announcement of BHP with the Copper Strategic Alliance in northern Mexico.
All right, Matt, I have to cut you off here because we're out of time for the radio, but we're having you back on next segment. So everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin and Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And Chad and I are continuing to chat with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Just as a note for everyone listening on the radio, these are segments of a much longer interview that we have with Matt that will be posted on our website, kereport.com, under that weekend show posting.
Now, we're getting back into this discussion, now focused a bit more on battery metals, because you did have a pretty comprehensive update on battery metals and also a company that you initiated an investment in, Strategic Resources. This ties in more to the vanadium sector. Why battery metals? What do you like about battery metals? What's your overall thesis for that sector?
Right. So, again, I want to emphasize, you know, my focus as an investor is on the, you know, company specific fundamentals. So it is on the people involved. It is, you know, generally on the quality of the asset. It's on the company's financial structure, upcoming catalysts, price to value, all of that good stuff. So I try to avoid getting swept into the latest theme of the month or latest trend. But I will say, I mean, it's pretty clear to anybody following this space that decarbonization and the trend towards decarbonization on a global basis is going to transform the mining industry over the coming decades here. And I think, this is an excellent way to position yourself, for that transformation. Whether it's the nickel, you know, that's going into lithium ion batteries, or the copper, that's the lifeblood of an electrified economy, taking electricity from point A to point B, or, you know, the rare earths that are going into high strength magnets and our EV engines or wind turbines or what have you. This is also a theme that has the ability to attract generalist capital back into our space. And also say, you know, this is more of a hunch at this point. And we'll, as the years go on, I think we'll get some more empirical evidence on this fact. But I have the sense that these battery metal focused projects, at least on the development side of things, are actually going to have easier permitting progression than some of the other, you know, especially relative to hydrocarbons, but even maybe relative to gold. I think it's easier to get social buy-in, you know, both on a federal and potentially on a local level, but certainly on a federal level for some of these projects, because they're feeding into this clean energy trend. And so, for all these reasons, it's a healthy percentage of our portfolio. I mean, the bulk of our energy metal exposure comes from copper, which is, you know, the easiest way to play the space, at large. Very, very limited substitution risk for copper, particularly at these prices. So as the world continues to electrify, copper is going to be a key beneficiary and an unquestionable piece of the picture going forward.
Well, Matt, there's no doubt that the energy metal space has a lot of different facets, but it's definitely been in vogue, whether it's copper, lithium, uranium, even some interest in the rare earths, as you mentioned. There has been a pretty good run that a lot of the companies went on, and some people are even now throwing platinum and palladium in there with some of the fuel cell technology. So there's a lot of different ways to play it. But as you mentioned, copper in particular was the one that you had weighted the heaviest. And I think it'd be nice to back up the clock and look at what you looked at in copper a year ago and how you see it today. And then maybe just a quick thought on what you think of the uranium market. So particularly copper and uranium, what are you looking at with those two sectors and the companies you're positioned in?
Well, in the July 2020 investor letter, backing up there, there was a piece called Copper, Gold, and a False Choice. And again, the context then was that we were in the midst of the, you know, run up to all time high gold prices and precious metals were the rage. And copper and really the rest of the energy metal complex was being forgotten. And the point I made there was pretty simple. It wasn't a, you know, dramatic call on copper about to spike. It was, though, a statement, looking back at the past 40 years, that copper had never been cheaper relative to gold over that period. And that was the case in July and in August of last year. And so it seemed clear to me that if you were bullish on gold, you should also be bullish on copper. I'm a big believer in reversion to the mean. That's generally what happens when you look at history. Of course, there are the occasional paradigm shift here or there, but it just didn't. The disparity in valuations prices between the two metals just did not square with my understanding of copper's, you know, essential role in the continued decarbonization of the global economy. And so it was making the point that reversion to the mean is likely, and, you know, gold could stay flat and the copper price would have to, you know, go up to 60-75% in order to hit the 40-year mean. And, you know, I did note in the article that this is going to be a long-term process and it'll take years of patience. I was very much wrong on that. In the past 10 months here, we have seen copper come all the way back. You know, when I wrote that article, it was trading around $2.75 per pound. It hit an all-time high of roughly $4.80 per pound in early May here. And gold has stayed, you know, largely flat over this period. It's you know, it's pulled back actually 10% from the all-time high that we saw last August. So now looking at the same metric, you can say that copper is trading, you know, fairly relative to gold, at least from a historical standard. And so I think it's hard, you know, to make a definitive call. And I try to stay out of the prediction business at all. It's just the disparities we saw last summer, you know, drew me to the point where I, you know, needed to comment on it, and call it out. You know, just for some context for your listeners, you know, and often you'll see in these mean reversion processes for the pendulum to overshoot. So, you know, there is a possibility that, you know, copper 6 months from now, 12 months from now, you know, gets quite expensive, relative to gold on a historical basis. And I was doing some rough numbers. If we saw the same copper to gold ratio that we saw in 2006, 2007, so kind of in the later stages of the, you know, 2002, 2007 China-driven commodity boom, you could, in theory, see copper at $10 a pound without gold moving an inch from this 1800 or 1900 per ounce range. That's not a prediction. I'm not expecting that to happen, but that is, in theory, within the realm of possibility. You know, should inflation remain strong and global growth remain strong as well, which would probably continue the trends that we've seen over the past 9 months or so. And then you asked for a quick comment on uranium. We're down to about 6% uranium exposure within the portfolio. It actually got as high as close to 15% or so in the spring. But our core uranium position, we've taken some healthy profits there. It's still a decently sized holding.
All right, Matt, we're going to wrap it up here. Sounds like still a little bit of patience is needed for a wide range of the resource sector. But, hey, man, your comments always very insightful. I really appreciate you spending time with us on this weekend show and for this extended segment. I hope everybody got a lot out of that interview. And, again, remember, click that link in that weekend show posting to read over Matt's investor letter out of MJG Capital. Matt, thanks again for your time, buddy. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, Corey. Thanks, Chad.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Frustration growing among public officials as COVID cases rise. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey saying Friday it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated. Her state ranks 47th in vaccination rates. As infections increase, so do questions about mask mandates. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki asked Friday about imposing a national mandate.
One, that's not the role of the federal government. That is the role that institutions, private sector entities, and others may take. That certainly is appropriate. Also, local communities are going to take steps they need to take in order to protect people in their communities.
Saki Atchi understands Governor Ivey's frustration. Work underway to address safety concerns at the site of the collapsed condo in Surfside, Florida. A structural engineer telling county officials this week the foundational walls of the building could collapse. Miami-Dade County's mayor saying Friday contractors are shoring and bracing the walls. This is USA Radio News. Plans underway to evacuate hundreds of Afghans who worked for the U.S. military, but some of those eligible fear they'll never make it. They have to get to Kabul by air because the Taliban controls most of the roads to the capital. Flights are expensive, though, and just getting to the airport can be risky. Our former commander in Afghanistan, David Petraeus, among those worried about the security situation as the U.S. prepares to leave. Petraeus and Fox News Friday responding to those who call it an endless war.
This is not ending the endless war. It's ending our involvement in it. The war will continue, and indeed it's going to get much worse. It already is worse.
Petraeus adds he's heartened by U.S. airstrikes this week against the Taliban, but the Taliban still has strategic momentum. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy feeling pressure from fellow Republicans to try to remove Nancy Pelosi as Speaker. Members of the Freedom Caucus on Friday telling McCarthy Pelosi can be removed by Rule 9, Clause 3 of the rules for this House session. It states a resolution causing a vacancy in the office of Speaker shall not be privileged except if offered by direction of a party caucus or conference. No word from McCarthy on if he'll move forward with the request. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Matt Geiger. We are going to continue our focus on the precious metals segment here as we are chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, Doc, I want to recap right now at least where we stand when it comes to the moves in precious metals and the underlying metal stocks. Now, I've talked a lot about this in the last week or two where the stocks have been greatly underperforming and the metal is still maybe trending lower but not getting hit nearly as hard as the underlying stocks. Quick little recap here. We are recording this later in the day on Thursday, but if we recap what's happened in July here, I found it very interesting in terms of it feels like July's been a very bad month for the metals and metal stocks, but compare that to June. June was way worse. And now comparing what's happened to gold. Gold, as we're recording this, just this month is actually up a little over 1.75%. So it's actually up for the month, but you look at something like GDX, GDX is down about 1.5%, and GDXJ is down about 5.5%. So again, the stock's greatly underperforming the metal, but it sure doesn't feel like this month that gold is actually up. I know it's marginal, but that actually surprised me when I started recapping just what's happened in the last couple months. What's your takeaway from this environment, Doc?
Yeah, I think you hit it perfectly, Corey, and you know, these poor stocks, some of them in the precious metal wants to stay fairly up there, you might say. But the stocks are just, you know, getting hammered. And that tells me that we probably are going to look at a little bit more movement down in the precious metals themselves in the next couple, 3-4 months. And because we're actually moving into a trading range, and when you look at the monthly Bollinger Bands, and they're starting to even out a little bit, and that's starting to tell you that we are now settling into an area that we're probably going to be in for some period of time. And it's a shame that the stocks comparatively have gotten hurt a lot worse, especially GDXJ, than the metals themselves. But I think it just speaks to the fact that the metals are going to come down. Now, when they do, sure, the stocks might suffer a little bit more, but I think then you're going to see a reverse where the metals on a comparative basis get hurt more than the stocks.
Well, Doc, I'm sure that's not going to be music to anybody's ears that's investing in the precious metal space, but it's always nice to look at the charts. And as we were discussing off mic, sometimes it's best to take the emotions and the fundamentals out of it temporarily and just look at the price action and see what it's telling you. So what is the price action telling you when you look at the monthly charts for gold and silver? What are you seeing, and where would a good support level be that you would think, hey, this may be an area, or what would you be looking for technically for a support level to come in?
Well, everybody wants to talk about that double bottom, but the problem with that double bottom they were talking about in gold is that it was put together very quickly. And generally, when you see double bottoms like that, it's not necessarily a great sign. It's a great sign when you have another move down, and then you really get a double bottom. And I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to move back down towards 1,700, probably the upper 1,600s, and we're going to really challenge that intraday or intra-month the double bottom at 1,673. I think that'll probably happen. Now, the discouraging thing is that you're having these stocks get hit so hard. Then you go back to March of 2020, and we got way back. The gold price got way down into the 1,400s. Well, we're not going to see that. But unfortunately, the stocks, a lot of them are going to double bottom as far as their months, their March 2020 lows. Some won't, but a lot of these stocks will. And I think you can expect it, especially in the JDXJ patterns and in those stocks, not so much in the other bigger category of stocks. They'll move down toward a double bottom, but they might not reach that double bottom of theirs, but some of these smaller companies will.
Well, Doc, you bring up an interesting point when you bring up the March 2020 low, because that was a little bit unique in that it was a pandemic crash, and like you mentioned, gold got down to $1,450. Silver was down around $13. I mean, as of the day of this recording, we're at $1,800 gold and $25 silver, but the miners, and in particular the ones that are not in the GDX or not in the GDXJ, some of the junior miners that a lot of the folks probably listening to this hold have been smashed down 30% lately, 40%, some even 50% off their highs, and that's not even counting the fact that we were already correcting from August of last year. Before we had that March double bottom and had the little lift in April and May. So the action in the junior miners, it may be indicating lower prices in the metal, but these miners are trading like we're back at $14.50 or $13 silver. So why do you think there's such a huge disconnect in the juniors compared to what we're seeing in the mid-tiers and the seniors that are held in those indexes? Where could this disconnect be coming from?
Well, some of them are actually paying dividends, which I guess is a positive, and people realize that when we get the next big move up, as they're going to see it in the big and mid-tier producers, actually, and that these smaller companies will once again will lag. And so I think a lot of people are still holding some of their positions because of that. And so they're shedding themselves of the explorers and the and even if they come in with good news right now, it's not impacting them hardly at all. But I do feel that the next time we move up, I think that's finally going to be the time that we really see some good moves in these stocks, whereas it's been very discouraging over the last few years where you're seeing higher gold prices and even silver prices, but yet these stocks don't respond. But a lot of these companies are being run more responsibly now. And if they continue this, the next big move, I think we're going to see some really great moves in some of these companies.
Well, Doc, one question that I just need to ask you, because I'm sure other people are wondering the same thing, is at what point will you feel comfortable scaling into some of the mining stocks with a little bit more, you know, of an aggressive position. I know that occasionally you nibble at a couple, and I know your philosophy is to buy on weakness, which is smart, you know, to accumulate the dips. But at what point, if you think that the metals price may take until next year or even 2023 before it really gets going, when will you start really, or what will you be looking for when you start adding a little bit more aggressively to mining stocks?
I will wait for the monthly on gold to move on the MACD toward a neutral position or a zero position on the MACD. We're a ways away from that. And the strength indicators are still decent, which is really encouraging because that tells me there's underlying strength for this market. It's signaling that don't be too concerned about this. But I will watch watch how the 12 and 26 month moving averages are performing. And as they move down, and I've said it before, I think we're going to be, I think it's going to be the first quarter of next year where we might finally get some stabilization. And there will come a point in time where I'll say personally that I'm getting really bullish for the first time. I did that back in 2019. I believe it was on June 12 point in time where Corey and I were having a discussion where I said finally after years that I was getting bullish for the first time. Well, a week later, the market, gold market started to take off. And I'm going to, at some point in time when the technicals look pretty good to me, I'll be saying, hey, I'm starting to feel really bullish here.
Okay. Well, Doc, we'll follow up with you. Hopefully we get that comment sooner rather than later, but it sounds like we might need to wait until next year for that more bullish outlook and that all clear to buy. But hey, I know there's a number of people still trying to scale into some of these stocks as they are correcting, and I think these stocks are due for a bit of a bounce. Let's just see how sustainable that bounce can be. Doc, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking time on this weekend show. I'm sure we'll chat again in another couple of weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperTea.com. That's Shop, S-H-O-P, Super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is ShopSuperTea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's ShopSuperTea.com at 818-984-6100.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this final segment, I am replaying really the first half of an interview that we had earlier on this week. It was posted on Thursday out of Skeena Resources. I'm replaying this interview because this was some pretty important fundamental news out of the company releasing their pre-feasibility study that was very good in a lot of different respects. Chad and I were joined by Walter Coles, and we discussed really the ins and outs of this PFS and then the additional growth opportunities of the company. I hope you all enjoy this final segment, and to hear the full interview, be sure to visit our website, kereport.com. Click on that Thursday posting. Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with an update from Skeena Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol SKE and on the OTCQX under the symbol SKREF. Chad and I are chatting with the president and CEO, Walter Coles. Now, Walter, I wanted to get this interview out early today because the company just released some key news on the PFS, pre-feasibility study, at the SK Creek property. Now, you have provided us a couple slides, actually a slide presentation outlining this PFS and also some of the work that's going to be done to continue to expand and grow this asset. I will post a link to that full slide deck, and I will also pull out a couple slides that we focus on here throughout this interview for easy reference. Now, the first couple slides in this slide deck really talk about the location of the SK Creek project, also the SNP project that is held by Skeena Resources, both in really the heart of the Golden Triangle. And one of the slides also outlines the infrastructure that is around these assets. A lot of that is because of the historical production on these assets and really its location in the Golden Triangle around some other well-known mines. Let's start on slide six here. Now, we have the 2021 resource estimate. We already had those numbers of over 5 million ounces in measured and indicated, but now we're seeing the reserve statement, the conversion to reserves here, 3.88 million ounces gold equivalent at just short of 4.6 grams per ton. Let's start here, Walter. Take us through the conversion here into reserves to support this PFS, please.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. We're really excited to achieve this milestone, getting this PFS out. Really an important step in this project evolution. I'd say, you know, as a note to all of your audience, this is a snapshot in time. We're going to continue to grow this project, but this is where we are today. So
you know, what's so important that's come out of this PFS. The first is the conversion from resource to reserves. We had a conversion rate of about 76%. So when you move from resource to reserves, now we have a much higher confidence level in what's here and economics around it. And so the reserves that are presented in the PFS, it's 3.88 million ounces of gold equivalent. The grade's actually improved a little bit from the PEA. In the PEA, we're around 4.3 grams. Now we're up to 4.6 grams. So, you know, always happy to see any kind of improvement in grade. I'd highlight that we, with that resource estimate that we published a couple months ago, we converted most of the inferred over to measured and indicated, but there still is a little bit of inferred, and we're drilling that out right now. So we'll, you know, hopefully as we move from the PFS to the pre-feasibility, we'll add another, you know, say 175, 200,000 ounces, and the reserves will go over 4 million ounces. So, great work by Paul and his team on the resource delineation and now the reserves.
All right, let's get into slide 7 because this really summarizes the numbers here of this PFS. And using the base case, U.S. gold price $1,550, silver price of $20 U.S., we're seeing an after-tax NPV of $1.4 billion Canadian, an after-tax IRR of 56%, and CapEx here looks to be U.S. dollar-wise $381 million. This looks like a cash flow-generating asset right here. Walter, take us through the PFS, the summary here on this slide, and also some of the sensitivities to the underlying gold and silver prices.
Yeah, so, you know, I'd add to your description and just point out the lowercase. At $1,400 gold, this project still has a 49% after-tax IRR. So there's margin of safety with this asset, and that's because of the grade, again, that 4.6 grams per ton. Of course, you go the other direction. If you look at it at say, you know, $1,700 gold, the IRR jumps to 62%. The annual after-tax cash flow is $300 million a year over a 10-year mine life. So, you know, the financial metrics for this project are nothing short of awesome. In terms of differences from the PEA to the PFS, we've grown the production profile. In the PEA, it was 306,000 ounces a year. Now we're up to 350,000 ounces a year. In the PEA, the mine life was 8.7 years. Now we're up to 10-year mine life. The all-in sustainable cost came down. It was around $600 U.S. per ounce. Now the life of mine all-in sustainable cost is down to $548 per ounce. And that's a consequence of both the improvement in grade and that we were able to achieve a higher grade concentrate, so that cut our shipping costs down, and it gave us slightly higher payable terms from the smelters. In terms of CapEx, CapEx has gone up. In the PEA, the CapEx was $230 million U.S. Now we're $381 million. So a meaningful jump in the CapEx. And that is the, you know, the biggest driver of the increase in CapEx was additions to the mill circuits to enable us to target a higher grade concentrate. And also, the improvements in the mill flow sheet have enabled us to remove more of the deleterious elements, which has significantly reduced the amount of penalties we pay to the smelters. So great work by everyone on our engineering team led by Shane Williams on this PFS. It's just it's a great result, but I would add, you know, we're pleased with it, but not satisfied because we think there's going to be further improvement between the PFS and the feasibility study, which we're targeting to have out in about 6 months. You'll see another jump in the production profile with the feasibility study.
Well, just as it is, it's already quite impressive. And when I look at the production profile, what you expect, just 450,000 in the first 5 years and a life of mine of about 352, even if that continues to ramp up, it's already a fairly world-class project at this point. And I may actually just jump ahead to one slide, which is slide 12 on there, and that's how this production profile would stack up to other similar mines in the area. Could you review just where it is now and how it would stack up to other mines in the area?
On this slide, we took other open pit. I guess we ranked other open pit mines in Canada. The number one largest project, open pit gold mine in Canada's Canadian Malartic, which is half owned by Agnico and Yamana. Last year, in 2020, it produced 578,000 ounces of gold. Detour Lake, number two, which is owned by Kirkland, that produced 517,000 ounces. And here we are, Eskay. If it were in production today, as defined by the PFS, it would be producing 350,000 ounces. So that would make Eskay Creek the third largest gold mine in Canada. But as I mentioned, we're not going to rest on our laurels. You know, the whole team is pushing hard to keep growing this project while at the same time get it into production as quickly as we can. So, you know, everyone's excited. I mean, we all think that, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to work on a project that's as stupendous, you know, incredible as Eskay. So we're not going to rest. I tell everybody this is not a marathon. It's a full-on sprint. So, you know, we're focused in trying to keep growing Eskay and make it bigger.
Well, that wraps up this weekend edition of the KE Report. I do want to remind everybody, please go back throughout the week, listen to our daily editorials and a lot of those company updates that we recorded. We're focusing a lot on companies right now because, quite frankly, the markets are slow. It's summer trading. And even though a lot of the stocks are still struggling, it's a great time to really dive into these companies and see what work they're doing and make sure their plans and their goals and their strategy really fit what you're looking for in some of your investments. As always, please keep in touch with Chad and I. Our email addresses are fleck@kereport.com and chad@kereport.com. We appreciate all the emails we get on companies that we have featured on the show or companies that you haven't seen on the show recently. We do our best to reach out to all of those companies and bring them on the show. I want to thank all of you for tuning in on this weekend show. I hope you all have a great weekend. Next week, a little bit less content as I will be on the road getting a little trip in, but we'll still be with you day after day covering these markets and what companies are up to. Everyone, have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.